And the first thing they'll say is the thing we need to watch out for now at this difficult time is Islamophobia. And it's like, no, we need to watch out for Muslims with knives stabbing our kids. Like, that's actually what we need to watch out for.
You need to change the way you approach things, right, and have a better manner about yourself.
Right.
What would you say to that?
I'd say, f*** right off.
The only thing you can do to stand out in life is colour your whole face in. That just makes you a kid with a crayon.
Do you know what my passion is? My passion is...
eating. One of the things that's closest to my heart is a fat tax for fat flyers.
What we've seen with Clinton, essentially she's just the wife of an ex-president. She was there supporting her husband whilst he was in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky.
I don't see myself as a victim at all. Look, Twitter's there for people that want to use it. If you don't like it, get off Twitter.
And the list of things we can't say is now longer than the list of things we can. And I can't stand that. Feminists can go and do one.
Here we are together and we've made this happen. And you already stood me up once already. You should tell your listeners.
Oh,
viewers.
Yeah, but
you went.
But I was in Virginia. That was worth it because, you know, I mean, we both know that we had to be there in Virginia.
I know. I was jealous of you, too.
Why weren't you there? What were you doing? What's your excuse?
I was somewhere else and couldn't be there. Where was I? I don't even know. I was like at a speaking engagement.
Tinder
on
date?
A stage. No, I've never done online dating. Oh. I'm so confused by online dating.
I thought you were saying you're getting racked out by some random guy you met on Tinder or something.
No, that would be bad and I wouldn't be married for that much longer.
Oh yeah, you're married.
Children.
Oops.
And I have children. I have children. I have actual children.
Okay, you do.
I am in charge of real life living people that look up to me in a motherly way. No, they don't.
You also go by, you call yourself Milo's mommy? Or what do you call
it? No, but I was in San Diego and a guy came up to me and said, are you Milo's mom? Like he genuinely believed the myth, the legend. But no, there was a time for various reasons. I had very short hair and it wasn't like a lesbian moment. And I had white, bright white hair. It was peroxide white. And so I looked quite a bit like, or at least Milo's mom. That was the gag.
Weird. Weird, because I also had lesbian hair recently,
yes,
too. And I was at a march talking to people. It was fully bleached blonde.
Oh, okay. So
and
it, yes.
Yeah, lesbian hair. And yes. And then what happened was is that somebody yells out, that's Milo Yiannopoulos, because they don't know anything. And I got surrounded and had to have 12 police a couple years ago help us out of the place because they thought I was Milo.
Yeah.
So the basic people, yes, don't like you, that guy, at all.
So in America, if you have peroxide white hair, you automatically become Milo.
They call it the Milo haircut.
Regardless of your gender or whatever gender you might be trying to be that day. Okay. And so that happened to me for quite a long time.
Beautiful. And people also have mistaken you for being a lesbian or something.
Yeah, well, the short hair thing. Because of short hair. And Americans get really confused really quickly, as you're demonstrating. And so people used to go, ooh, she's a speaker at a conservative thing, but she's got short hair and she looks a bit like a footballer. So she must be one of them.
One of those.
So I used to start my speeches by going, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this. And I'm not even a lesbian. And then the room would have this really nervous laugh because you knew they thought you were a lesbian. And they would go, in a sort of, oh yeah, that was me, relief, she's not a lesbian. She's not going to try and do something to me that I don't want her to do. So that would be the really weird, nervous laughter.
Okay, well, speaking of that, speaking of being a lesbian, that's actually, so that's kind of actually this terrible joke. So one time I worked with this guy who was doing my clothing and he told me, hey,
what do you mean he was doing your clothing?
He was a merch guy. He was a merch guy. I know. Oh yeah. racking out my shirts. But
he
no.
He was doing your clothing.
Okay, listen.
Was he sorting out your wardrobe?
Yeah, yeah, no.
Did he lay out what black nondescript sweater you had
to
wear?
Yeah, that's my trans wife.
Did he have to help you pick out the jean that you were going to wear?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Is that what yes. Your wardrobe guy?
All right. Merch guy. Okay, mom.
Okay,
merch guy.
Okay, jumped up prick.
Yeah. All right, mom. So he's here, right? And he says, oh, wouldn't it be interesting if you actually asked people in public to accept you as a gay black woman and see what their answers would be? And people really in public told me they would accept that identity, that genuinely.
Sure.
Out here. One woman I asked her as far as I said, if I said I was a bicycle, would you accept my my, you know, physical.
Would you ride me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But she goes, yeah, I guess. Like, I mean, if you said your bicycle, I would have to accept you. And so what I realized is, like, you know, it's really not that bad of a shtick. And it kind of went for so long and it kind of got burned out where I tell people I'm a gay black woman. Then I retired the statement because it was like kind of lame. But then people got sad that it left. And you realize in this industry, sometimes people love the lame, cringy stuff, which is why they follow you and me.
No, because I don't do lame, cringy, and predictable. So I wouldn't.
Didn't you just do a comedy show? And didn't you just do a comedy show in LA?
No.
You didn't do any stand-up comedy.
I saw
clips of you from like the other week.
That wasn't stand-up. That was my regular, that was a speaking engagement, but I am pretty funny. So yikes. You mistook it for stand-up, I guess. Oh. But no, I wouldn't do lame things like ask people if they accept me that. Because it feels really passe, that whole you can be accepted forever, whatever you want to be thing. That feels like dated to me. Your material feels dated in that regard.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, look at the age of the people we have on the show.
I know, but I only got this old because you put me in an Uber for 4 days to bring me to this shithole.
No,
you know. I was a lot younger when I was like fresh-faced when I left the UK.
She was 26 when she left?
Yeah, I freaking was. And then you were like, yeah, come for 45 years and meet me at my studio in the middle of ass end of nowhere and drink some water.
LA.
This is going to be an invite. It's going to be really easy to turn down in the future.
LA is actually probably one of the worst regions.
And I say, when I got into my Uber, the guy went, are you Elijah? And I went, yeah. So I fucking pulled off being you, even though I'm not a chubber and wearing shitty top.
Oh, man. Well, hey, from one ugly to another.
No, that wasn't so good, was it? Did you know coronavirus has broken out at LAX?
Are you not joking?
I am not joking, and I've got to go there tomorrow.
So the coronavirus is here.
So there was a suspected case. So before this, like a mass hysteria,
wow.
A suspected case at LAX. I love, have you seen the coronavirus clips? Of like
people Asian, like blowing out blood from their head
like
and stuff.
Just like Asian people standing there with the face mask on and then falling face first.
Cracking their heads open on
just
the floor.
Just all over the place, yeah.
Yikes.
Coronavirus crazy.
Can we talk about this a little bit?
Yes, I love it.
I want to throw out some random topics. I want to get your opinion on this. So people have, obviously, all the names in the book, this is like not abnormal to you, but you get called, you know, all the fun complimentary names, racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, you know, discriminatory, white supremacist, white nationalist.
Horse face.
Sarah Jessica Parker, also people call that.
Yes. And I can see that too. Like, I have a long face.
Yeah, so yeehaw.
And then some people who bypass the horse face bit, they just come up and they go, do you ride? Which really, they're just going, horse face! But they've processed it to, do you ride?
Wow.
Well, anyway, back to topic.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's
it's quite weird.
I get called
all the names. Yes,
it's like
you're totally
this show
right.
Sometimes demoralizes down to a point where like we're in the middle of shooting like right now. And I just go like, I question the fans of the show sometimes and the fact that they consume this stuff and they love it. But in the end, I realize that it's actually kind of brilliant because having you on, we have literally talked about nothing for 20 minutes, 15 minutes.
Because we're sort of interesting.
Oh yeah, that's less than you. But I want to talk about some interesting people like to hear. You don't care about talking about inflammatory topics. This show doesn't care either about what we talk about. But I'll tell you this. So you get called this, all these types of things. In my opinion, and this is a broad statement, I feel like Western culture has degraded so much across the spectrum. I mean, when you watch, for instance, even if it's fiction, like about, or like, I guess, kind of fiction on Netflix about the Queen and this British society and the way things used to work. And then you look at London now. I mean, London looks like a third world country. In fact, it's gotten so insane. It's like we don't even know what we are as the West anymore. And I know that because of that, you've been hypercritical of the unrestrained immigration in England.
Yeah.
But one thing that was interesting to me is you talk a lot about Islam, and or at least you have in the past.
Yeah.
Maybe not now. And you've made some remarks, but I've noticed that the difference between here and England is it seems like under Trump, extreme Islamic terrorism or whatever the left likes to call it, basically just Muslims doing their good bidding. We call it the religion of peace here. But it's kind of like not really an issue right now in the United States, even though it seems to be a sick issue still in the UK.
Yeah, you guys have got it pretty much under control and it's a brilliant thing. And I completely admire America and everything Trump has done. A big pledge to kiss 64 million Americans who put Trump into power. It's an incredible thing. But we are still very much, you know, in the thrall of the Islamists in the UK. We invited back jihadis who'd been fighting in Syria to come back to our country. And we put them at the front of the line for school places. We put them at the front of the line for housing. We had an attack just the other day on London Bridge where a guy
who was track.
Rehabilitated came out with a knife and started stabbing people, stabbed two kids to death on London Bridge. This happens all the time and we're still not allowed to talk about it. There is a prescribed narrative that we have to follow, which is, oh, you know, a vigil, thoughts and prayers. We carry on as normal. And that's absolute bullshit. And we are required to be cautious. The police will come out and the first thing they'll say is the thing we need to watch out for now at this difficult time is Islamophobia. And it's like, no, we need to watch out for Muslims with knives stabbing our kids. Like, that's actually what we need to watch out for. So we have that as a problem. And the difference, I think the main difference between the UK and America, apart from the fact you have good customer service, different varieties of food to eat, generally have good drinks, but not here. But the main difference between the UK and America is that we are outnumbered, like increasingly. So within 10 years, 2035, Muslim births outnumber births to all other. So births to Muslim babies are far in excess of any other. And by 2045, I'm a minority in my own country. So in 10 years, this is the last 10 years, this is the golden age of Britain, and then we're gone. So that's the serious kind of behind all of this, is the serious message is time's running out for us in the UK. But there is still time for America to save itself. And actually, that's the reason I'm here in America, is to push that message hard as we get to the November elections, because you don't want to become like us.
Yeah. And that's a weird thing, though. It's like, first of all, I get why they call you xenophobic and bigoted, because when I think about the fact that you're like afraid of having your country turn Muslim, and you think of all the rich, beautiful Muslim countries around the world right now, and you just wonder why you don't want England to be like, I don't know, like Yemen or Saudi Arabia. You know what I mean? It's such a weird thing.
I am massively xenophobic in that regard. Yeah, in that regard, I am definitely xenophobic. And also in the regard of not wanting to be beaten up by my husband on a sort of hourly basis or have to cover my face just because some other guy says I should. Or the fact that majority Pakistani Muslim rape squads have raped 19,000 of our young kids, young white kids in 2018. You know, yeah, I'm definitely xenophobic.
Let's talk about rape. Let's talk about it. Okay, so obviously, what's really interesting is I live in LA, you live in the UK. I think the
but you
UK,
sort of live in LA.
Well, this LA
is still LA, still,
yes.
Are you sure?
LA is that, but you're in North LA.
Are you sure?
This is South LA.
We're not in Canada.
No.
I feel like maybe
some people call this Mexico. Some people call this Mexico.
Do people still have personalities here?
No.
So it's virtually Canada.
That's true. Oh, and we have the micro penis two genital things too, which is similar to Canada as well.
And also Canada now has Meghan Markle. And even Canadians don't want Meghan Markle.
Talk about rape. She got the royal family by the backside right there. She bent them over.
You know, usually it took wars to bring down royal families. It took, you know, mass events of destruction and chaos. All it took to bring down the British royal family was one, I don't know, whatever she wants to call herself, woman of color.
She's half white. Yeah, so, she's like, I mean, a Barack Obama.
She like,
but
really
the halfers are the ones that cause the most problems, because they come out with the appearance like they look like something, but they really are just that bitchy white SJW feminist in the inside. They really are. But then they use their dark skin color to let you know, like, not only do I not get sunburned, but also too, I have power to take down a royal family.
And the fact that she doesn't actually appear as anything different to the rest of us, so none of us give a shit about whatever color she may or may not be. It's the fact that in every articulation of herself, she has to say, and as a woman of color, and as a woman of color, da-da-da. Yeah.
Shut the hell up, Megan.
You need to keep labeling
yourself.
Hey, chill,
Megan.
Yeah, chill, Megs. Piss off, Megs. Hey. I've been saying piss off since the start. Like, we smelt that rat.
Yeah, like, Paul Joseph Watson was like, I remember right when Prince Harry it is, right? Or what is it? Prince William? I don't know who's
which one, ginger or bald?
The one that's married to Meghan. I don't care about the royal family.
I got that from your lack of information and education.
We don't care. Since 1776, we have not given a crap about what's going on in England.
Not caring about something doesn't mean you have to be uninformed. But you're just uninformed.
I hate them. Yes.
But it's different.
Well, everyone knows that watches the show. I'm not that bright of a guy.
I know. Yes, that's apparent. So your viewers would have worked that out very quickly. But the point is Prince Harry.
It could fit in the UK.
We're quite smart. Our IQ is significantly higher than people in the USA. What's with the twitch? Are you nervous when I challenge you?
I just didn't know if
IQ?
Like the inbred skulls, like the larger heads are what leave room for brain mass.
We could talk about my brain.
Actually, I just wanted to know.
You can feel my brain. You want to feel it?
I feel like I'm being hurt. Like, is this a, come, like, no, a, come here. Like a porno setup?
Come here.
Oh, this is
how good. Squeamish are you? Oh, it's like in a serious thing. Are you squeamish?
I'm not squeamish, no.
Okay, so gently feel my head. Hold on, put your hand flat. Oh. Yeah. Okay, there. Can you feel that? That squidgy thing in the middle?
Yes.
That's my brain.
Well, you didn't tell me that you lost half your skull.
Well, when you crack skull jokes, you just never know what your audience is actually going to be.
Wow. Talk about, I'll tell you. Well, hey, there's always exclusions. So it's like there's always these
surprises.
Yeah, there's always someone who does less of a head.
I'm surprising lady.
Why is your brain
out?
Yeah, why is it literally
poking out the
touchable? I can't ever say I've touched a brain of a live person.
Now you have. Now you have. And I can make my wiggle. You can make your brain move.
Yikes. Okay.
Anywho,
why do you not have
Megan or brain?
Brain? Just real fast. I think people would be too curious right now to like to wonder why you're
Meghan
like,
Markle?
Guys. You have to understand her part of her skull is missing, and you can feel the brain in.
So it's
the
like
head.
I'm like an egg, right? That's the good way to describe it. If you had an egg and you chopped the top of the egg off, that's me, right?
Yeah.
And then like my yolk is poking out. That's a good way of describing it for someone watching.
Ooh, I'm not even squeamish, but like,
if you're going to go
brain.
Funny, are you going to go like Greg?
No. It was weird. You can feel like the movement of the brain. You can feel the brain in the head. Have you ever had that in your life?
No, it's a cool party trick though. Like when people are doing party tricks and I watch them go around the group, I'm like.
But doesn't that make you susceptible like to if someone assaults you?
Well, yes.
Do we really want to let people know this is there?
No, but I do tell people because it's important. But what it makes me more susceptible to is on your... So Americans also have this weird thing of wanting to always carry their luggage with them on the plane. Like it's as if you guys haven't worked out there's a thing called the hold where people can put baggage. And so when you go on a plane journey, it doesn't matter where you're going, you always have to decide to like... put all of your suitcases with you on the plane. Like you literally
carry on. It's like this big. It basically is a small suitcase. Yeah, he's pointing to me because he's saying, I never check a bag. I go with a giant blue thing.
You never check a bag?
I never do.
Okay, so you go along and everyone knows no one's going to fit. Everyone knows no one's going to get all their luggage on. Everyone has to have a cardiac about it. Everyone has to have some kind of hissy fit. Anywho. But when you guys get off after you've reached wherever destination the hell you're trying to get to, you get up there in these things and you start going, foonk, 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 hit all the wheels. Okay, now imagine being me on that plane with no skull. I dread doing internal flights in the States because you guys are just, you don't give a crap where your luggage is going to crash down. And so I spend my time like this until you get off.
Wow.
Anywho. That was my sidebar story about my brain being exposed.
And now back to Meghan Markle.
Oh, do we want to know why I did it? Why I don't have a brain? Skull? I do have a brain.
Yeah, I would like to know.
Anyway, I was born epileptic. So a couple years ago, they went in with a circular saw. They chopped off this size bit of my skull. And then they went in and got the thing out, the tumory thing that gave me epilepsy. And they threw it away. And then they did start off with putting that bit of skull back. But it went manky, so they threw it away. And so I don't have a skull, but I don't have epilepsy. Boom, boom.
So it's like, okay, well.
Win-win.
So Meghan Markle
is married to Prince Harry. And Meghan Markle is an asshole of the highest order. We knew she was going to be trouble, and indeed it proved to
be
so.
You are what you eat.
I think people hoped she was going to be great. But I have noticed the difference in the narrative between the UK, where we say, well, how shocking, and why wouldn't you do your duty? And you married into this family, so suck it up, girlfriend. And in America, everyone's like, yay, she's a strong black woman, and her blackness overcame the British whiteness. Yay. And I'm like, oh, please.
Yeah, I would say the story here, people don't even know what's going on. And I think that they think the British royal family is like they think it's like a show or something. Like they honestly don't even know what's happening. And to be honest, people knew from the beginning, she's a home wrecker. She came in, she wrecked a home, and then they're moving to Canada. And the worst part is that the Canadian government is paying for their security in the millions of dollars to move them there. It's Commonwealth. And the reason why I don't like that is because I don't want Meghan Markle any closer to the United States. And they're not going to move here until Trump's out of office. So they're going to be here in about 5 years.
Which is so rude, because the whole principle of the royal family, whether you care or not, is they don't get involved in politics. Like, that doesn't happen. So the Queen's been like rocking around for 70-odd years on the throne in power, and not once in all that time has she ever expressed a political opinion, because the royal family don't do politics. What does Meghan Markle do? Well, I'm not moving to LA until we haven't got that bastard Trump. Don't know what that accent was. So the point is, she's just gone straight in with the politics as well, and we don't do that stuff.
Disrespectful, but that's the whole point about not caring about a little bit about the Western cultures. Like, you have this mass immigration and these things in certain countries, which I think we do have it under control. But then you have these people, and you find out when it really comes down to it, Meghan Markle, of all the things she can do, she's basically shit on two different countries mm-hmm. at the same time. She comes and she's proud that she undermined the royalty, which is I know for Americans, we really don't care about the British royal family.
Which is fine.
It's just we don't. But I know that it's important to the British people. I know that it's a very, very big thing over there. From my understanding, yeah. I met British people and they like the royalty for the most part.
We like it. We can totally see the point. Like, what is its purpose? It's not democratically elected. It's a bit weird and it's a bit archaic. But we kind of like that stuff. We like a bit of history and tradition, right? We love a bit of a flag waving.
For 10 more years.
Right.
Yeah.
But most of all, we like the Queen. Because she's like 92 and super cool and still rocking up in like floral outfits.
She drives her own Land Rover, Range Rover, yeah.
She's got cool geese. We love her. And her husband, Prince Philip, 97, 98, still walking about, still rocking it, still having car accidents. Brilliant. And we love them. We love them. And we don't want, it's just like a parent. You don't want something bad to happen to them. And so Meghan and Harry coming back going, we're going to take a step back and screw you, without even going to see the Queen and have the respect to say, listen, this is what we're planning. They didn't even do that. They went straight to the press. And that's why we feel kind of, that's why I feel angry at them. Not only that, but we paid for her
kitchen. Is it sabotage though? Is it
because
I think it really is when you, because she's an American. And I think what people don't understand is that America right now is like 13 different countries. It really
yes,
is.
Yes,
it's
it
not
is.
Really a unified place no. where people think the same across the country.
No.
It's very clear. And there's only a few major geopolitical places in the United States that control almost all of the just crazy stuff coming out of the left. If you look at almost any insane proceeding, investigation, you'll find on the board, on the chairman, they're either from San Francisco, from Los Angeles, or from New York.
Sure.
Sometimes Vermont, sometimes Massachusetts, but for the most part, it comes from like three cities in the entire union are our crazy people. And Meghan Markle, she's from Hollywood. And you know, Hollywood is probably the smartest people in the world, and they have the best opinions that we shall listen to. But her going in there, to me, honestly, that's when you realize that the war after the Cold War really is not against countries. It's about culture. It's about faith. It's about tradition. Because this one American woman, it's like she hates America just as much as she hates the UK.
Which is the perfect trait of a Democrat, isn't it? Can you hate America the most? Can you be the most hateful about the country that's given you opportunity? And that parallel, we have so many parallels between your country and mine. But this parallel of this one place or these two places speaking for your country is the same for us. You know, we have London speaking for the UK. And I always describe my country as two countries, London and a great place, a great little place I know called the rest of the UK, where really good people live, people that voted for Brexit, that voted for Boris Johnson, you know, whereas London is the domain of that little London mayor, Sadiq Khan, who is not obviously my favorite person, not only because he's short, but also because he's Muslim.
But hey, say it like it is. I also don't like him because of his policies, too. He's got a pretty bad policy on weapons.
So he has the worst crime record on history. We have the most stabbings in history. It's more dangerous to be in London than it is to be in New York, statistically. So we, under Sadiq Khan, things have taken a real nosedive. So I guess he just he's just got this massive ability to be elected because he's elected by his Muslim majority. But in reality, the job he's doing has been shocking. We have become weak. And it is disappointing that there aren't enough people willing to speak up. And the reason is that if you stick your head above the parapet, and I'm a good example, they will take everything you have. They will take your jobs. They will take your home. They will take your kids if they can. And that's where I'm at right now. So
they sued you recently. Someone did.
They sued me and took the house, my house. But they ring social services to try and take my children, that I'm an unfit mother. You know, the threats against me are real. There's a couple of jihadis that came to chop my head off. They're now in prison. So the real threat is that if you speak out in the in my country, you do lose everything.
Someone already beat you to that, though. They should have told him. Someone already chopped my head.
I know. I'm like, good for that.
It's not cool. Second time already. Around.
Yeah, you go for my neck, but they went here, and it was
yeah, but
tougher.
That one wasn't for the glory of Allah.
No. So this
we
might be better.
Up that one.
Yeah. So yeah, they sued me on the basis of a new law they made up, especially for me. Actually, that was I could cause you. So if you wanted to sue me, you could say, "Well, Katie caused me serious harm when she criticized my sweater." And you only have to perceive that I caused you serious harm.
I heard about this.
For you to
that it
be
only
successful.
Has to be one. It's one party consent, so the other person just has to make the claim, and yeah. You're guilty because of the claim.
Yes, and
but it's going to be selectively enforced.
Correct, against conservatives or me at that time. And so, in order to make you go away, I need to settle with you, give you $30,000. So I said, no, I'm going to take this to court because we can't have this law standing. It can't be that you only have to perceive harm. Went to court. A certain judge was in play that day, and he found in favor of the person that said she perceived that I harmed her.
Do you think that judge was accidentally there?
And obviously behind...
Like, they do. They pick the judges on purpose. These MPs and these people are so wicked and evil inside the UK. I'm not like... And I saw what they did to Tommy, first of all.
Yes.
Like, Tommy was trying to call out pedos and like rapists, and they came against him. But also with this whole Epstein thing, and you realize how many powerful people are literally dogging kids, you realize how corrupt these people actually genuinely... Yeah. I don't know. You're not... Do you consider yourself particularly religious?
No.
But if I always tell people, but if evil did exist in its truest form, this would be them. And if the demons were real, if you didn't believe in it, at least admit if they're real, they're probably with those people.
Yes.
Because these are the worst of the worst. And they come after anybody who loves the country, anybody who's against UN's global plan for, I mean, I think it's the UN, to be completely honest. But I know people have considered you to be a conspiracy theorist because of your views of the replacement of white populations in countries. And also your belief, they called it a conspiracy theory online. It said you believe in a conspiracy theory called the killing of white South African farmers. How is that a conspiracy theory?
It's like, when I'm there, they're literally being stabbed, macheted, raped, tortured for hours. You know, they're not just people... The South African police try and file this genocide of the whites that I absolutely believe is happening. They try and file it under a robbery, you know, or a home burglary that went wrong. Whereas in reality, these white farmers, often the wives are strung up for hours. They're burnt with things. They have hot water thrown on them. They go and get the heating iron from the cupboard and they brand the women. I mean, this is, it's vindictive, it's retribution. It's kind of some kind of horrific cleansing of the wrong colored skin. And yeah, I get called a conspiracy theorist for that. I've been banned from South Africa because of my reporting on that. I was held at the airport, detained, not allowed to leave the country. So, you know, this is the penalty that we incur. In fact, Tommy Robinson's judge, the judge that sent him to prison, he recently dispatched two police officers to a home. Plainclothes police officers to a home that I don't own. I don't own anything anymore. I've had to give everything up to a home that has my family in. They waited for the adult, my husband. He wouldn't call himself an adult, but he was out. And the men came to the door and intimidated the kids. And the warning was, if you don't stop speaking about the Pakistani rape squads, then we will pursue contempt of court charges against you. So this happens in my country in the night at a home. They'll come to your door, they'll knock on your door, and the warning is stop or you're going to prison as well. And so that's why you going to Virginia, for me, you sent me a nice email saying, I'm really sorry, I can't make our date.
Sorry, I can't talk to you. Going to Virginia.
Yeah, and my response to you was, you know, I'm really proud of you. I'm proud that you're going. I'm proud that you guys are bothering to go. And the reason that I'm so genuine in that is that because of your Second Amendment, you have your first.
Right.
So where I'm sitting, I'm getting knocks in the night on a house I don't own because I can't own a house because it will be taken from me to protect my children. I need to disappear myself. And then I have you going to Virginia to... as I see it, help bolster the Second Amendment rights of Americans. And that really matters to me because that is the front line. Virginia is the front line of your defense of freedom, I think. And it's why I'm so proud of everybody there.
No, it really was. And that's why our good friend, you know, AOC?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
special.
Really, she's, yeah. Like, you know, people, I was actually sitting on my way to Virginia next to an attorney who was he was an attorney for Planned Parenthood. Really, you know, class act right there. You know, and it's just so interesting that when you hear these people like AOC or this guy and the way that they're describing anyone who wants to defend the Second Amendment as if like they're basically like traitors or they're terrorists. AOC brought up this point. She goes, why do we see such a big police presence at a Freddie Gray, a march for Freddie Gray?
There's this gun rights protest that's right. happening right. down in Richmond.
Right.
And
on MLK Day.
On MLK Day. But here's the image that has struck with me the most about that, is that when we go out and march for the dignity and the recognition of the lives of people like Freddie Gray mm-hmm. and Eric Garner, mm-hmm. the whole place is surrounded by police in riot gear mm-hmm. without a gun in sight. Mm-hmm. And here are all of these people flying Confederate flags with mm-hmm. semi-automatic weapons. Mm-hmm. And there's almost no police officers.
They actually burned down their entire city and they were like shooting people. So that's why there was riots. And she claimed that this was a clear sign, because they want to attack the Second Amendment. Uh-huh. The Second Amendment's really about white supremacy and really about white superiority, because look at how few police there were at this 2A rally, which, by the way, I want to point out there was hundreds, hundreds of hundreds, but also the media lied. There wasn't 22,000 people there. There was like 30 or more thousand at least being there. And there was what? No shootings, no deaths, which makes you wonder if really, truly the attack, even this whole white supremacy thing, is really them just trying to disarm the American people. That's what they're coming to. People think it's an attack on white people alone, but it's like a two-way street to me, because you can attack white people, not sure, but you're not going to get so far as long as they have guns. So ultimately you have to disarm them in order to win the battle here.
They're coming. They're coming for your guns, for sure. And they need an event to make that happen. Now, whether an event happens by itself or is antagonized to the point that an event happens, or whether an event is put in play by deep state, who knows? But they are coming. When Democrats get any form of control, that's the first thing that's going to go here is your guns, for sure. So if we take the parallel of the mosque shooting that happened, horrific shooting in a mosque in New Zealand. So a gunman went in, just blasted a congregation or whatever you call them, a gathering in a mosque. He recorded the whole thing. The camera work on it actually was really sophisticated. But anyway, the first thing that was done in New Zealand was that there was a government buyback of weapons. Now, that's a misnomer right there, because the government never purchased them in the first place. So there's no buying back if you never bought them. But there were queues of people handing in. They were obliged to hand in their weapons.
Like, and what Australia did in the 94, what
right,
it was,
or right? in South Africa, if you speak to any white South African, they'll say, you know, you never hand in your arms, because they've seen after apartheid, they had to hand in their weapons. Those weapons are now being used against them as they're being genocided off their land. So my big fear is it's only going to take one state to go, and then the domino is right across America. You know, you lose your Second Amendment.
California tries, though. That's what's really interesting here, is California tries. They're so strict, and you know that they don't care about protection of their people, because you know, I have known death threats on my life. I've been assaulted many times in public. I work a very dangerous job, and I'm in a position too where it's like, I mean, I'm not saying this matters for anything, but I work with, you know, a big company. It's not this random guy. I can have people vouch for me, corporations write in letters to try to get a concealed carry permit or have some ability to carry a firearm, which is my God-given right here. But California, Los Angeles area only, I think, gave out last year 17 concealed carry permits, only to like certain people through political means. Meaning, even though it's not illegal federally, certain regions like California or Los Angeles specifically have made it almost impossible
yeah,
to
yeah.
exercise your right. And in fact, like I've even showed them, I have cases. Like I've been robbed while I was home. I've had my car grand theft autoed before. Welcome to living in LA, right? And I've been robbed before in public. I'm not going to mention the races or ethnicities of any of these people who committed these crimes, but I'm just going to let you know that there was consistent things across the board. And I have reasons. I have reasons to believe that I work in a lot of areas and I need to be armed. And they just say, no, you can't be armed because it's what? I'm too dangerous to own a weapon. And they've already violated my Second Amendment here.
Yes.
And if you try to come against them here, in fact, you can't, because it's a Democrat supermajority in California. There's no way to get our rights back in California. We can't ever get them back.
No. So I think on a positive side of that, and I get it. Also, guys that carry, and girls too, but guys especially, it's kind of hot. Like, it is.
Wait, does it have to be high caliber or even just low caliber?
No, just carrying. And so
big peepee, but micro caliber is still good?
Yeah. Just any... any when people go, yeah, I'm carrying, or, you know, I carry, I'm just like, that's hot. It is hot. Men with weapons are hot. That's just, take it from a haggard old lady. This is just the truth. But I will say, so out in Redlands and Murrieta, you know, there's guys there who say that every time the Democrats make a move on restricting gun usage or restricting permits, they go out and they buy another five. And people in Texas that are now creating arms cache in their homes, in their land, so that when the time comes, if there ever does come a time where they have to make some kind of stand for their rights, that's what they plan to do.
I know where I'm going. I'm not going to tell here, but I already know a couple individuals who have told me.
Because where the fuck are we, Canada?
I know. I mean, California.
You're going to go to Texas? No.
No. There's some people Tennessee. Here. There's some people here who have quite
Tennessee.
A few firearms.
Is it Tennessee?
I can't say. I know what's going to happen. Imagine if there's an earthquake here. Imagine if there's an earthquake here in Los Angeles. Think about this. People wonder if Western culture's collapse of politeness, of civility. And I go, imagine if there's just an earthquake in LA and the water lines break. This is going to be the scariest place to live in the entire world. I mean, there is, what, over 10 million people living here right now? And there's like one to two, more than that. There's 1 to 2 million illegal immigrants. So there's already like a couple million people. We have no idea about who they are. And that's probably a rough, soft estimate. Yeah. It's probably a lot more than that. Plus, we have like some of the most violent, notorious gangs here, including MS-13, different types of things that go on here. I mean, if you just want to see what Western culture degrades, cut off the water to LA for 30 days in like a 9.0 earthquake. I can guarantee you that the Civil War would start right here.
Yes.
Like, this would be the scariest place to live ever.
I still want to know where you're going to go, though, when it comes. The time comes. So for South Africans...
Changing the subject, Cody.
I saw you, but I'm coming back to it. So South Africans are already planning up weekends they meet to make this last stand. So it is properly biblical over there. So, you know, you ask, am I religious? Not really, but South Africans, I dig their kind of religion, which is this epic fight between good and bad, like good versus evil, and that the end of times for them will come soon. There's only 4% whites left now. So
4%?
The approved statistic is 8%.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought I've seen that it was like around 10% last time I read.
Because there's this huge kind of movement across the border that means they're down to about 4. That seems to be more realistic.
But are they leaving the country? I mean, are they emigrating out?
So the two things. One, the and I don't mean it unkindly, the ignorant question. I just mean the uninformed question is, well, why don't they just leave? And they don't leave because they're really poor, these guys. The only thing they have is this land and their crops on it. And that's the only
stuff.
Are these
like original just Dutch people? Like, is that what
this is?
Yeah,
so their grandfathers.
Is it the Boers or whatever?
Yes, that's right. They turned the land into these farms. They can't leave because where are they going to go? And what are they going to leave with? Nothing and nothing. Nowhere to go, nothing to leave with. So what they're planning for is to pull back to this defendable space where they'll make this last stand. And I think it is kind of prophetic for us of what will happen. For us in the UK, my Jewish friends are leaving for Israel. Our Christians, we're looking to Hungary and Poland because they are brilliant and hardcore, and they are going to be Christian lands till the end of time. And then in America, I see you guys leaving California for Arizona, for Idaho, for Texas, for Florida. And it's kind of like, well, where will you go after that? Where are you going to go then? You know, this that we are pulling back, whether we see it yet or not.
We're retreating.
There's movement of people afloat. Yeah, we're retreating to.
But what do you do about it though? Because what's really hard for me?
We fight back. We hump
some people.
Yeah, no, you get in them and you get in their faces and you go, "What are you doing to my country?
Do you own a firearm?
No, I'm not allowed.
See,
how
do we do that? Get in their faces with like what a paper straw?
My nose is fairly intimidating when you stick it in the face of a Pakistani.
Katie Hopkins, half a head and a whole paper straw. Just go in there, you know, like what?
And that is what I do.
Whack them.
That is what I do a lot of the time when there's a mob gathering. We had one the other day, Muslim Pakistani mob gathering in London. I go in amongst it. Because what are they? What's the worst that's going to happen? Okay, what? They don't
gang
me on
rape,
the head.
Gang rape you.
Okay, fine. I get gang raped. The worst things have happened. So like, but you know, I've got to get in amongst it. Like, I feel like this is the moment. And that's why I'm kind of a bit known too, is that I'm known for being in the places other people don't go that much.
You should give yourself credit because you are, like, you don't even have an exact regular show from what I'm aware
not
of.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but you are very well known because you don't hold back on what you say.
No.
And so a lot of times, you know how it is, people have to hold back because whatever, even YouTube makes it very hard for like YouTubers and different people. Now you've made it where you can't even make fun of people now on YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, I still do it, but I mean, they say you can't.
You can't.
And so it's like they've, you know, because I've heard they actually changed their rules by pressuring and lobbying by British MPs. Is that really true?
Yes, true. Trill, anything now that is regarded in any way, if you perceive that it is harmful to you, this perception word has made everything harm. But the only way I've got there is by giving, well, not giving up everything. I didn't volunteer to give up anything, actually. But I was the columnist at Mail Online with Piers Morgan. I had the Sunday show, the radio show in London on LBC. I was known in that way. All of those things were taken. Those jobs were removed for various reasons, none of which were real. And so I lost all my platforms. And yet I guess I remain known because people have been kind enough to seek me out, or they like what I used to do, or they remember me from when I had those platforms. I haven't changed my views or opinions. It's just that the world is shifting so fast to the left, and so fast to a place where you can no longer speak. The silencing is overwhelming. And also people in the UK have learnt, and they've schooled it well, you don't want to become like her. You don't want to become like Katie. You don't want to lose your home, your jobs, have your kids taken, maybe, have people come after your head. You know, the government ran a play called The Assassination of Katie Hopkins. It was a play that was funded by the British government. Billboards were up across the country.
Nice.
That's
flattering.
It's very flattering. So that's all. You learn fast. If you want to keep your job and your family and your marriage, Shut up.
And but now you do it the right way, where you make money by just speaking around places, talking to people, where it comes in, right? I mean, they can't stop you from having a life. They'll try, though. They'll catch your bank account, too.
Yeah, that's happened in the UK. So they've removed all funding platforms in the UK. I can't be on PayPal, for example. That's removed. They've removed my website. I'm a non-person. I don't exist. I'm a ghost in the UK. But I may be homeless one day, but I hang out with homeless people. It's all right.
Well,
there's plenty of them here.
You could find a good job or something out here in media in America still, because conservative media is still really big.
Still big it's, here, yes.
It's and very that's big.
And
in,
part
in
of the reason
States.
I do come here is to be able to just work a bit sometimes as well. Yeah. I miss it, but I am always pushing stuff out on Twitter and stuff. And I'm grateful to have people following me that I have. I'm grateful for the support I get, which is like moral support.
And you follow nobody, like on Instagram?
No.
You're followed, but you don't follow.
I don't follow. I have a million followers on Twitter. I don't follow anyone. I don't follow anyone on Instagram. I'm very suspicious of people that follow a lot of people. So that's how they got their followers. Like,
oh, when they have like 700,000 followers and 450,000 following.
It's
and just you go,
well, weird. It's like rats running in a circle. I'll follow your ass if you follow my ass. Okay, let's all follow each other's asses. And what are we going to do? Oh, I know. We'll never look up, but we'll look important because we've got a lot of followers. What?
Yeah, I would say organic. I would rather have organic
Don't
followers.
Follow anyone. If you've got a lot of followers, I'm not interested in you unless you're doing it because you've got shit to say, which I've got stuff to say.
You do. A lot.
I have a lot of stuff to say.
No, but I appreciate it. And I think, because of the time constraints on the show, which is
And
actually,
my travel home because I have to get home before I'm 95.
Yeah. But I will say, just in all of that being said, for those of you that don't know who Katie Hopkins is.
Do we even say who I am yet?
Well, I'll do a cold open this. So people don't realize it's like it'll cold open when I'll explain.
I'm like Katie.
Yeah. If people don't need you. They'll figure you out. But check her out. I don't need to give her too much of an introduction, but she's became in the spotlight, from my understanding, through The Apprentice. Which you were a bit of a firebrand. You got into business, you ended up writing for The Sun, different types of things. You moved in, you got Daily Mail, UK, whatever, got fired here and there for being too honest, the whole shebang. But then now you're here on this show, which really means your career fell apart. Like, it really does. Right. It means like you're in a bad place in your life if you've come down to this level.
You've hit the bottom. But the good thing about recognizing that what you've hit the bottom is, you know, there's not many places else to fall. Like, the only way now is up.
This is like an encouragement to people who end up on Slightly Offensive. We'll always play it for them at the end. They go, you can only go up from here.
Yeah, this is it. And when people come to events, even people, obviously half the people hate me. Some people love me. Some people hate me. They probably hate me. And they come to an event and they hate me. And I respect that they've even come, actually. I'm like, yeah, you came even though you hate me. And then they say at the end, now I quite like you. That's frustrating. But the thing is, if your audience hates you, the only place you have to go is up in their estimation.
So we have a bright future here.
We have a bright future together, babes.
Hell yeah. Mm-mm. This is really good. Well, thank you guys. Thank you, Katie Hopkins, so much.
Cold hands,
yeah, of course. Cold hands.
Cold heart.
Yeah, it's cold. Yeah.
Did you get distracted by my boob? Did you get distracted by my boob?
No, I didn't
get distracted.
I just never seen someone circularize their breast on my show until today.
Now, like a new first. I was distracted. Brain.
Yeah, no, I was just going, you know, like I have this moment sometimes where I like I don't understand what
your
I
brain has
do.
Stopped working.
Yeah, I go like no, but there's like these moments like the other day I was at the Women's March and this guy's on a megaphone. He goes,
when are we going to stop? Or when are immigrants going to stop dying from the flu? And I just went, what? It wasn't like being
the women's march. The women's march is just so they hold these signs, don't they? My vagina is made of steel. My vagina is made of steel. Ouch. My vagina has had a 14-pound baby out of it without a stitch, but I don't feel the need to put it on a freaking sign.
Mm? Yeah. Oof.
It's surprising I'm still sat on this chair. Plus, that I steel's haven't swallowed heavy. It up.
If we're gonna be progressive,
I can't sit on a bar stool. Do you know that?
Really?
Mm-hmm. It just goes all the way, and I end up with five legs.
Speaking of that's well, hey, that's
is that black, too much.
Blacks.com.
Are you looking forward to having kids?
I want to have kids. Yeah, do
you?
I do.
You want to stay with a woman when she's had them? It's an echo. Echo. Can you hear the echo?
It's a little echo. It's a cave.
It's a little cave.
Well, we'll do a thing called Cave Explorers, a new show with Katie and Elijah.
Katie's Cave. Yeah.
Exploring Katie's Cave. Oh,
fantastic. We got it. Don't make that grimacing face. It's a beautiful place up there. It's like an island of tranquility.
That's where they...
An island of tranquility.
Do you know that's that one person sold
60-year-old ladies.
Someone sold a candle that smelled like their vagina that they used, lightly used.
Oh, a vagina candle.
Then they stuck
I've
it up
that.
There, right?
No, it's Gwyneth Paltrow.
Did she make it from the bacteria or did she stick it up? Well, it said lightly used. I didn't know what that meant.
I think she, hers is obviously, you know, hers is like the inside of an Equinox gym, right? Gwyneth Paltrow.
A lot of rich people have been there and left their sweat and body fluids.
Anyway, yeah, my vagina's seen a lot more action than most feminists. That's what I'd say.
Oh man, I wish you can go further. Anyway, guys, please always make sure you like, share, and subscribe to keep independent media and journalism alive. Always tune in every single week. You guys
and
do.
And to pay for my Uber home, which would be like $4,000.
Yeah, these Ubers, I think I'm coming out to
it's like Canada.
I think it came out to like almost $80 to get here, probably like $80 to get back.
I know. And but I'm just doing this because I'm like a charitable institution.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, also, pleasure. Yeah, also too, guys.
If they give you money, I don't see any of it. People should know that. They yeah, should well, pity me.
Yeah, they should actually. But we know what we do. We not always give people a gift. And we gave her a water.
Yeah. Fuck you in a Dasani.
Hey, well, never say we haven't provided anything for free. Also, remember, before you realize that you don't make any money, we do this full time and we're still in a utility closet.
In Canada.
Yeah, in Canada with a micro penis.
With
and
Meghan
an
Markle.
Inverted. Yeah. Hey. Well, guys, that's been enough talk about dualistic genitals. Have a great rest of the day. And as always, may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.